Now unto him who does exceedingly abundantly above, say it with me, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that's at work within us. Hey, what's the power that's at work within us? The Holy Spirit, Amen. The Word of God, life. Speak life, not death. Speak blessing, not cursing. Father, Amen. We're grateful to you that you are exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think according to this power that is at work within us. Your name, your blood, your victory, your word, heaven, the saints, we're victorious in Christ, in him, in whom we have to do. Thank you, Father, for your glory, your goodness, your manifestation, and your power today. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who agreed said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I got plugged ears, so I can't tell if I'm loud or quiet. So if I'm too loud, just do this. And if I'm not loud enough, just do this. Amen. Welcome, everybody. Thank you, band members. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, team, singers, even you, Pastor Nance. I'll take it.
Oh, you got one on there.
You're awesome.
Okay.
She's awesome. I tease her, but she's awesome. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to service this morning. I'm Pastor Steve. We are just blessed to have you with us this morning. And thank you, band members. I didn't say to the band members. We love you guys. And so we're already off and rolling this morning. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. The entrance of your word gives us light. Light to see where we're going. Light to see what we need to do. Light to see the things, the illumination of our understanding coming from the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Godhead, living in our spirit right now, all the time. Thank you for the illumination, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Woe unto them that call evil good and call good evil. Woe to them. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 19, I want to read a few verses from the Amplified Classic. This is the title. That was the title I just read to you. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. It's happening in this world. We must expect that as light gets brighter, praise God, you all shine as light. You are a brightness of God. We are illuminated with the Holy Spirit. And so as light gets lighter, we understand that the world is going the opposite direction. So if light's getting brighter, darkness is getting darker. But we don't care. We're full of the Spirit. We're full of life. We're full of the Word. Are you full of the Word today? If you're not, we're going to bump you up. We're going to pump you up. We're going to bless you with the Word of God. So I can't even hear myself right now. So maybe if I hold my breath real hard. No, that didn't work. All right. So I'm reading from Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 through 13 from the Amplified Classic. Then the angel said to me, write this down. Christians, it's okay if you take notes. This angel told John to write this down. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those who are summoned, invited, and called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me further, these are the true words, the genuine and exact declarations of God. Verse 10. Then I fell prostrate at his feet to worship. Christians, it's okay to fall prostrate lay down and worship God. I mean, that's an old-fashioned position of prayers that they were not ashamed to bow. I'm doing this. This one doesn't bend as far. But nevertheless, I mean, bow now or lay prostrate or do whatever to worship God. And so we can't be ashamed to worship God. And sometimes, you know, we prostrate ourselves in the presence of God, in his holiness, or we just bow our knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven is named. We're part of the family in heaven. We're part of his kingdom, his family. And so we all should, and this is a challenge, I'm not going to look at anybody right now, to once in a while, not all the time, you don't have to, but we bow our knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven is named. So these are practices that were from the beginning, and they've happened all throughout the years. And now as we come to the modern days, we challenge people to not be proud and not to be, not to be arrogant, you know, just to be humble and bow our knees. Everybody should at some point, at least probably once a day, we should bow our knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven is named. Amen. All right, so verse 10 says, I fell prostrate at his feet to worship, to pay divine honors to him, but he resisted me. And he said, refrain. You must not do that. I'm only another servant with you. And your brethren who have accepted and hold the testimony borne by Jesus. So the saint says, you don't worship me. We worship together to Almighty God. Amen. All right, so worship God, for the substance, essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy, the vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of the divine will and purpose, including both mine and yours. And so we're looking for the spirit of prophecy. We're looking for the vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of the divine will. We can have that when we get in the Word, spend time in the Word, seek God in prayer, seek God in the Word, and God will illuminate you. He will give you revelation. Revelation is a great thing. Revelation is when the light goes on. It's not outside the Bible. It could be if it's a prophetic unction, but generally we want the illumination of what the Bible says. We want to read a verse we've read since we were kids, and all of a sudden illumination, light goes on. You go, whoa, I just saw that, and I see what it means, and I want it. I want to walk in it. I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want to put on the whole armor of God, that I may be able to stand against the world. What's the objective? I want to stand against the world. I want to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want to escape. Who knows the rest? I want to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Don't anybody get nervous. I start moving around, looking around. Look inward. It's okay if you look down, but look back up. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and open up those everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He's the mighty Lord Jesus Christ. Then I fell prostrate at his feet to worship him. But he said, don't worship me, worship Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the substance, the essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy, the vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of the divine will and purpose. Hey, Christians, we need the interpretation of the divine will and purpose. It doesn't mean it's something outside the box. It just simply means that we get understanding, we get revelation, we get impartation, we understand. When we read the Bible, we don't just read it and don't understand a thing, but we can get what God intended for us, and we can see it. It can give us illumination. It can strengthen us with might by His Spirit in our inner man, so that we can be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Somebody say amen to that. We want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This place echoes, and we're going to just get used to this because we love it. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful facility. Thank you, Lord, for this pulpit, this and this podium, and these instruments, and all this equipment, and these beautiful carpeting, and these beautiful walls, and the ceilings, and the windows. I love the windows. I love the sign. I love everything about this place. I am grateful to you, Heavenly Father, and we should not stop giving thanks to God for this. Now all of a sudden, if you go back across the alley and it's so dark and it's, oh man, it's different. It's really different. So rejoice! Rejoice that we have a new place to serve God, and we'll fill the house. The house is going to burst forth. Break forth into joy, oh my soul. This place is going to break forth into joy. And I just, this is exciting for me, praise the Lord. All right, so, verse 11, after that I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who is riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. You know, we go to the Amplified to sometimes, when we are meditating in the Word of God. The Bible says, meditate on my word and you will see how. Why would I want to meditate on God's word? Well, the Bible tells us why. Meditate in my word so that I may see how to make my way prosperous and how to have good success. That's what happened in the Old Testament. They said, meditate on my word and you will see. What does that mean? Meditation will give you impartation and understanding of God's plan. Revealing God's plan so that you can see and you can begin to walk out God's plan. Doesn't mean that the next day things are going to change and everything's going to be peachy. No, it means that as you walk it out, as I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm being a doer of the Word and I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things are added unto me. So somebody who thinks that today you're in church and the next day all goodness is going to break forth on your head, listen, some of us have been serious, devout, sold-out Christians 30, 40, 50 years, okay? And life is good. But praise God, we never turn loose of promises. So anybody who had the thought that, well, you're saying all these great things, that tomorrow morning when I wake up, all of it's going to change into this glorious existence. Hey, we still live in this world. We're not of this world. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. And so we understand that we're pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our life. That's what we've made choices of. We didn't just choose to get saved to escape hell. If you did, it's not a fruitful life. It's not fun when you choose that. But when you choose life and blessing, and you reject death and cursing, then these blessings will come on you and overtake you. It means that there, as you're walking the walk, as you're pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed everywhere I go. But Pastor, that's the Old Testament. So what? Hey, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the whole Bible is a word from God. And if I will take the words off the pages and I'll put them in my heart. See, there's a lot of stuff that people don't have in their heart because they hear it once. They go, oh, yeah, yeah. But they don't even bother to continue to say it and believe it and to stand on it and to walk in it every day saying the blessing of God. If you're sick, man, every day, thank you that He took my infirmity and He bore my sickness and by His stripes I'm healed. Every single day, 10 times a day. Doesn't that be 10 times, could be once one day and 10 times the other day. It could be 20 times. But if you're sick or if you're in pain or if you're suffering, He took my infirmity, He bore my sickness, and by His stripes I was healed. When you hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, He's faithful that promised. I believe the promise of God. I believe the promise from Alpha to Omega, from Genesis to Revelation, from A to Z, from 1 to 10, whatever you want to call them, the promises are yes and amen in Him, and somebody's got to stand on the Word of God. And if you think that we can just play patty cake and get all the blessings of heaven, you don't understand Christianity. Because you know the saints that have gone before us? Do you know the patriarchs and in order to walk in those victories, what happened? It doesn't mean that something bad, that I have to live through something bad. I'm not expecting anything bad. As a matter of fact, I'm thankful for the teachings that teach people to expect the goodness of God, to expect the favor of God, to expect the blessing of God, that I can walk in the goodness of God. We sing about the goodness of God. The scriptures talk about the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. And one of the things about the goodness of God, if I will allow it to lead me to repentance, Father, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me. I messed up. That was absolutely contrary to my faith, to the kingdom of God, and to your will. And I just ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. That I can just see Christianity is more than just happy, happy, joy, joy. There's a whole lot of different things that has to be a part of everybody's life. Now, I know most of you know this. You guys grew up, a lot of you grew up as Christians, but a lot of you know and have heard, you know, good preaching for long periods of time in your life and stuff like that. But there are new believers. And you know, sometimes new believers come in and they go, wow, this is great, man. I just feel the presence of God and I'm excited. And now all of a sudden, everything good is going to happen. My life has changed for the better and nothing bad's ever going to happen to me again. And then the next day on the way to work they stub their toe and it hurts and it's bleeding, their big toenail is bleeding, And they're going, well, I thought everything was supposed to be blessings and favor and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. I thought everything's going to be blessings and prosperity and healing and all those things. Of course they are there. Of course it's the Word of God. I believe it with all of my heart. But we all know, we're not foolish enough to know, that you press towards the mark for the prize. So what that means is you're pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not nominal. I'm not like a normal person that accepts Jesus and then doesn't move forward. I mean, the world is full of people that accept Jesus and they don't move forward. And so it's up to God to decide what happened in their heart. But for us, we're different. If you're downtown here, we gotta pump it up. You know, we gotta do the spiritual calisthenics in order to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because I see people coming in here that are gonna need you. They're gonna look at you and they're gonna go, I need that person to help me understand something. They're not going to come up to the front after church and ask me. They're not going to ask Pastor Nancy. They're going to see somebody in there that doesn't look intimidating, somebody that doesn't look frightening. And you don't look frightening, and you don't look intimidating. You look very warm. You look very friendly. You look very helpful. You look like you're full of the Word. And I'm going to go ask that person, what did he mean when he said that? Talking about me. Sometimes they won't come ask me what I meant. And so I want to make sure that people understand. I want to make sure all of you understand what I'm saying when I say something, because I can back up what I'm saying by the Word of God. I want you to understand that. We're not going to just shoot things into into oblivion and just come up with weird ideas. I want to be a person of the Word. I want to be a preacher of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word. I want to seek first His kingdom. I want these things to be right in line with the Word of God. So if I say something, you go, I'm not sure about that. Well, ask me, or ask Pastor Nance, or ask somebody in the church, where do you get that from? Because I'll show you scriptures that will confirm the word with signs following. We want God to confirm his word with signs following. So let's go back to that point about when do good things start happening? When you press towards the mark for the prize. As you're pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Okay, so you mean I can't just live a half-committed life and get the prize of the high calling? No, that's for the people that press towards the mark for the prize. So someone has to go, well, do I have to be like you? No, you don't have to be like me. Be like Jesus. Amen. Be like Apostle Paul. Be like Peter. Be like, you know, Peter made mistakes, so that gives us room. Gives all of us room. We've got room. We've got room to grow. We're not holding anybody their feet to the fire right now. No, we want to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, so verse 11 says, after that I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady. Faithful, this is amplified, of course. Faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. All right, so what do I do with that? If I'm hungry for Christianity and I'm new, I find that verse for myself from the Amplified, which is 19:11, and I say out loud, Jesus is the one who's called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. Okay, now I have a picture of who I know, because I want to know in whom I've believed, and I want you to know in whom we've believed. And we believe that these are different facets or different values of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I want for sure, first of all, I want to know that he's true. I mean, everybody believes in God, but I want to know that the Word of God is true. I'm not going to look to someone else to tell me that the Word of God is true. I'm going to take the Word and believe in my heart that the Word is true. You believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that he set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named. And he gave to him to be the head over the church. We believe that. Now we're taking some of these things out of Scripture, and we're starting to see ourselves as who we are in Christ, and these things begin to unfold, and you start to see good things. Well, one of the things that happened is when I started to believe that these good things were going to happen, I woke up on Monday morning, and I said, well, what happened? Well, hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering, because he's faithful, that promise. So when you take a promise of God and you go, yes, that's absolutely right, and that's absolutely what I want, and that's absolutely what I'm going to receive. And you go to the next day or next week or next month and you get a little shaken. Sometimes you get a little shaken. That happens. There's sometimes a shaking that happens in our Christianity. But we shake the shaking off, and we press towards the mark. We gird up our loins, the Bible says. I know that's an old term from the King James. I love King James. So what? Gird up your loins means pull up your britches. That's old-fashioned, too. That's like farmer stuff, pull up your britches. But tighten up. Stands up straight. There's a little bit of militaristic thinking here. We're in the army of the Lord. Could we talk that way a little bit? Let us talk that way. Hey, we're soldiers in the army. You know, I really think is cool is that we've got some ladies that are tougher than the men. And I like it. It's cool. I wouldn't want to mess with them. I wouldn't want to challenge them. And I'm grateful for it, because if the men aren't going to stand up, then let the ladies stand up. And they are. And man, I'm calling out, saying, let's do this. We can't fulfill the prophetic words that have been spoken about this ministry if the men don't stand up. Having done all to stand with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, taking the shield of faith wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm taking the shield and blocking the enemy from coming against me. I put on the helmet of salvation. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I take the sword of the Spirit. You know, I had it. I had it in my hand, and I was going to bring it out here. Oh, I did bring it out. I didn't even know I was going to go there, but I wanted my sword. We got a real one in there. This is... Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does it say next? Somebody answer it. What does it say next? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, what kind of church is this? Well, what's wrong with being a doer of the Word? Praying in the Spirit. Well, I don't even know what praying in the Spirit means. Well, why don't you find out? Where am I going to find out? Why don't you look it up? What if I look it up and I don't get the full answer? Search. The Bible says, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see, that we may comprehend, that we may understand. Crossroads, crossing over into revelation and understanding and impartation and growing up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him. But you got to fight. I was a really good hitter in baseball. You can probably tell. So what I'm going to do with my sword is I'm going to stand here like this. Who wants some of this? You know, that's smart aleck talk. That's okay, because if it's the enemy, he knows the next thing I'm going to do is speak the Scripture. Steve's words might not be frightening to the enemy, but he knows that any second if I start saying a scripture, the scripture is the word of God, and the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. If I speak the word, he's got no defense. The enemy has no defense. So it's basically me taking this out and it glistening and it's electrified and it's got incredible nuclear power in it, and I just swing the word of God at the enemy And he's got no defense, my friends. But when I come in there and go, I'm Steve, and I think I deserve everything, and I don't care what you guys think, and I don't care what anybody else thinks, I'm me, he's going to laugh at you and just say, you got no power, dude, so shut up. Am I being too rough on you? I don't think so. I think we are well able to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And what do? You put on the whole armor of God. And so I always talk about it. I'd like to talk about it till Jesus comes back. Put on the whole armor of God. I have on the helmet of salvation. My feet are shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. My loins are girded about with truth. I have on the breastplate of righteousness. I have the shield of faith, wherewith I'm able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I pray. I can testify to everybody before God, I pray. So now I'm pointing people out. Do you pray? Do you really pray? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Christians, we can win this battle, and we're going to win this battle, because this was a battle to come here. It wasn't a battle Lawrence did all the painting. None of us did it. He did. Hi, Lawrence. Good to see you, bro. This thing came together with everybody's cooperation and everybody chipping in and everybody doing their part. And it just, for those of you that are watching, welcome. This place came together. And it was diligence on the part of so many people that worked hard. But it was fun. We enjoyed it because we're all working together for the fruit of the gospel, for the kingdom. But there's more. There's more than just a facility. There's more to conquer. There's a city. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun for people that, you know, when you looked out the window about, let's see what time is it. When you looked out the window about an hour ago, these people, I was looking out the windows and there's cars were flooding in on 4th from the freeway. And you knew because you looked in the car and they were wearing purple. And so they're flooding in from there and they're going to the Vikings game. And I'm going to watch the game. Many of us watch the game today. But the idea is we're in church. And this place is going to be flooded with life the same way that the stadium's going to be flooded with life. When J.J. McCarthy scores a touchdown or throws a touchdown pass, he will, because I love J.J. McCarthy. But the point is that God didn't move us in here to get comfortable. And it's beautiful. It's comfortable. God, it's comfortable. Thank you. But that's not the objective, to be comfortable. The objective is to set the place on spiritual fire, that the fire of the Lord would burn in this place, that the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, that we could do that, that we could have, so that we could have, you know, power. His power, that's a fair question. We can't be powerless. We must do what God wants us to do in order to have power. For us, no. For our glory, no. For the kingdom, for his glory. So that I don't have to come to the front when somebody comes in and they're just bound by all kinds of stuff, but that anybody that greets them or stands there and they picked you out, they saw you. I see that face looks like somebody who might understand God. And if you have a face that might understand God, if I go to you, I bet you could say a powerful prayer for me. And when they come to you, could you say a prayer for me? I'm sick, or I'm under torment, I'm under pressure, I'm under pain, I'm under all these things. And they see you and they say, you look like a person that believes God. Could you pray for me? And you said, yes, I'll pray for you. I'm not going to run to grab a counselor. I'm not going to run to grab a prayer. I'm not going to run to grab the pastors. I will do it for you. I will pray in the name of Jesus. I will lay hands on you, and there will be a miraculous change in human beings because we acted on the word. We're acting on the word. No one in here is excluded. If you want to just quietly sneak out right now and go, I ain't doing that, you can do it. You can sneak out if you want, but you are not, you're not sneaky. You're bold. You're courageous. You're strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and you take unto you the whole armor of God, that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. But we take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the devil. And having done all to stand, we stand with our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Guess what? The word works. Everybody say, the word works.
The word works.
The word is full of power.
The word is full of power.
You guys aren't very enthusiastic. I'm more enthusiastic than you are. Everybody say, exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above.
Above.
All I could ask.
All I could ask.
Or think.
According to.
The power in me. The power is in you. What power? Holy Ghost power, word power, spiritual power, anointing, authority, victory, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meek faith. I have faith. I've got the fruit of the Spirit in me. It comes through me when I believe it. If I don't believe that scripture from Galatians, I believe it's Galatians. If I don't believe it, it's hard for it to come out of me. It's hard for it to be manifest in me. So what do I need to do? Don't be a naysayer. Don't say, well, that's extreme. No, it's not extreme. It's wanting to be a doer of the word. I want to do what the Bible says. That's what "be ye doers of the word and not hearers only" means. I'm going to do what it says. How else could we believe? Is there one day when you get christened and all of a sudden the power comes on you? No, you believe the word, and the word gains, it brings that power in your life as you build it and build it and build it. And pretty soon, you're not ashamed. You say, hey, let me pray for you. And you don't have to pray on somebody's head, but you can if you want to. You put your hand on their shoulder. You can put your arm around them. But what you're doing is you're going to God in their behalf. And you're praying encouragement into that person's life. And you're praying so that their faith will grow to the point where I can start going to God for myself. And pretty soon I feel strong enough when I go to God that I can go to God for somebody else. And that's called intercession. And pretty soon I'm praying for other people. And pretty soon I'm going to step out and I'm going to lay hands on somebody that wants me to pray for them. And pretty soon I just put my hand on their shoulder and I say, in the name of Jesus. And that name is above every name. And in that name, good things happen. Christians, the objective is that all of us can be doers of the word. All of us can live a separated life. All of us can walk in power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand? That's power. I don't even know what time it is. Oh, I got to watch. Cool, I got time. All right, after that I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And the one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. That's just worth time in itself. He passes judgment and wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. His eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns, diadems, and he has a title, a name inscribed, which he alone knows or can understand. Verse 13, he is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping it in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's truth. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's truth. Ephesians 6:17. Paul confirmed it by saying, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful. I always stop there. The Word is powerful. Quick is an old word for alive. So let's believe together today, from this point forward, that the word is alive. So it's got life in it. It's got divine energy. energy. We're finding energy everywhere. The universe, earth, under the earth, above the earth. What is lightning? Energy. Incredible power. So power is available to all of us, the power of God. And it's the more word I know, you know, back in the day it was, I'm going to lay hands on you because I'm going to get hands laid on me because I want power. I didn't want power for myself. I just wanted the power to say no to sin. And that's fine. You know, somebody that you trust and you ask them to pray for you, I want the power to resist sin. I want the power to resist the flesh. I want the power to resist carnality. I want the power to resist, you know, not wanting to read my Bible. And you know, people could pray, and then you go and you walk in a new level of power. But pretty soon, you want to walk in power. I want to walk in the Word. I want to walk in the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, which He wrought in Christ. How much power? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named. So that's power. But every individual in this room, every person listening, there's a step up. See this? This is one step. That's a step up. Calling out for the last time, getting real close to the end of the line. Calling out for people to step up to a new level of power. And it's sanctification. It's surrender. It's yielding. There's a price. There's a price. It's called the flesh. The price is you're going to have to crucify the flesh. Say no to carnality. Say no to the world. Say no. It doesn't mean every second of every day of the rest of your life, but it just means I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm developing. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I want this. There are times you go, I don't want this. I want to hide, and I don't want anybody to know where I am. That's cowardice. God has called us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, to take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everyone in this room has been around Christianity long enough to know what to do to stand against the wiles of the devil. You shouldn't need to be taught. I'm not insulting anybody or criticizing anybody. I'm just saying we should be more mature, and I believe you are. You're a mature bunch of believers. But what's causing the weakness? Flesh. Flesh. And what does the Bible say? Crucify the flesh. Crucify. Put to death. Put to death the carnal nature. Put to death the imaginations by casting them down. Imaginations in the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Let's talk about that for a second. What do you mean? I mean that your mind should be pure. Am I warning? Am I busting somebody up at the chops? No. I'm saying this is available to Christians. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. Casting down wicked thinking, casting down animosity and resentment and bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and perversion. Cast down perversion. Christians shouldn't be perverts. Christianity's full of perverts. Who are you to say that? Because I know what people are doing. But you can be free. You don't have to live like that. Jesus is coming so soon. Why would we corrupt the path to heaven with perversion. Slay it. I'm a fighter, man. I'm a fighter. I'm using this sword. I've been given weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, to pull down those strongholds of perversion, carnality, pornography, all those things that go with it. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I can do all things. I like to hold it like a baseball bat, because you know what right behind this building is? A baseball stadium. I could play in the major leagues. Kidding. I could throw a football. Yeah, big deal, right? Everybody thinks they can. Every person, I don't know, do girls think they can throw a football? Good, thank you very much, because that sounded chauvinistic, didn't it? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Yeah, everybody wants to throw a football. You got to hold it right, though. You got to hold with your fingers on the laces. Okay, that's where you start. Put your fingers on the laces, get a good grip, and fire that thing. Can you tell that I like stadium, and I like the stadium here to play football, and then there's a basketball stadium right next door, there's a twin stadium, and across the pond there's a hockey rink, and hallelujah for sports, amen, for any of us who like them. And for those of you that hate them, we won't talk about them much more. After this, verse 11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one who was riding it is called Faithful, Trustworthy. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord. In the young life of Christianity, I put my faith and my trust in the Lord, and there were times where it didn't seem like he helped me. And you know what I was told from people I trust? Examine yourself. And I hated that answer. Don't you know? But you know what you have to do? When somebody tells you examine yourself, you have to get by yourself and you have to humble yourself and examine yourself. And the Bible says examine your ways. And it's a wonderful study of examine your own ways. Judge yourself. And when you do, all of a sudden, deep from within, this voice of conscience begins to bring conviction. And I can slay the voice of conscience. I can say, no, I resist you. I'm not going to admit I'm wrong. And I'm not going to face what you're telling me. So shut up, conscience. Or you can humble yourself. Father, I hear my conscience. My conscience is telling me I'm wrong. Excuse me. My conscience is convicting me. Then you realize when the conviction comes that the Spirit's prompting you. The Holy Spirit is encouraging you. Son or daughter, you've been delivered from the power of darkness. He translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And now all of a sudden I'm on a roll and I'm realizing that, oh, don't fight conviction. Reject condemnation, but receive conviction and go, yeah, Lord, I hear your voice and I sense your presence and I know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I purpose in my heart to yield, to surrender, to let you talk to me. God, I'm going to let you talk to me even about things that I don't want to discuss right now. That's called being transparent before God and bringing your life to the throne and surrendering. That's a process of change. And it changed one sin at a time. Yeah, I hear you, Lord. I repent. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of unrighteousness. Gone. Not going to do that anymore. Oh, yeah, I hear it. Lord, I hear you. Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. In the grand scheme, no argument I could present to you, Father, is good enough to justify anything I've said or done. So I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of unrighteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pew! Pow! Gone again. Now I'm moving forward. I'm taking ground. I'm gaining. Not falling. I'm gaining. I'm moving upward. I'm not falling behind. I'm not being left behind. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because I know that in whom I've believed, and I know that every person in this room and every person watching and listening, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And then you start to believe that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm not the head of anything in heaven. I'm just the head of my life. God's in charge, but I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm a blessing. I could do this. And now you get joy and you get peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The fruit of the Spirit begins to be evident in your life. And now you've got joy and people see it and they want it and they come to you and they start communicating with you. And all of a sudden you're moving forward as no longer a failure or a miserable wretch. There's a point when you don't have to feel like a miserable wretch. And people that, they that know their God are strong. And they do exploits. They're not feeling like miserable wretches all the time. Always under condemnation. Therefore, then there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So these are answers to some, I believe that in this presentation, there were answers to questions that people have. And that when you get an answer, you must say, the Lord has enlightened my darkness. Not to say you're dark or anything like that, but I would always humble myself and say, the Lord has enlightened my darkness. I've been informed by the Holy Spirit of what to do and how to get free. And so freedom happens. Freedom, listen, Christians, there's so many, thank God we've got so many Christians that are free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free. We don't live in darkness. We don't live in bondage. We're not living in carnality. We're not living in the world. We're not living like we used to live. Not going back to the way I used to be. We are receiving communion today. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the communion. Let me just finish this couple verses here. Again, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it was called Faithful, Trustworthy, Loyal, Incorruptible, Steady, and True. He passes judgment and wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. Verse 12, his eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns or diadems. And he has a title, a name inscribed, which he alone knows or can understand. Verse 13, he's dressed in a robe, dyed by dipping it in blood. And the title by which he is called is the Word of God. That's the book of Revelation. That's the Lord that we serve. And that's the Lord that we will spend eternity with. And so I want to ask everyone right now to bow your head with us as we prepare to receive communion. Now we want to just have the opportunity to be right with God. And thank God for these times of just going to God and saying, Lord, I repent. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of unrighteousness. We just say the salvation prayer. So let's all say the salvation prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me and was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive forgiveness now and I receive eternal life. I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, praise God. As the ushers come forward with communion, Pastor Nance is going to talk.
Trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. We're created in God's image. The Bible says that we are created in His image.
Hallelujah.
So when I see scriptures like that, I put myself in there. Father, I thank you that I'm faithful and I'm trustworthy and I'm loyal. I'm not corrupted. I'm steady and I'm true.
That's faith. That's faith speaking.
And I'm going to stand for holiness, justice, and uprightness. And you begin to see yourself as God sees you. When you say it, you have to say it. You have to take the sword of the Spirit. The sword doesn't do any good unless you use it. And the only way to use the sword of the Spirit is to say it. We put the word of God in our mouth. And we speak it out. And that's holding fast our profession of faith. And then I had one other little thought, because, you know, there's people that don't like to talk to anybody. They don't want anybody to ask them a question. And so when Pastor Steve was saying, you know, somebody's going to come up to you and ask you a question, it's not going to be hard. You don't have to run away from it. God's not going to send you anyone who is going to expect you to preach a 10-point sermon to them. He's just going to send someone that's super not intimidating whatsoever, and they're just going to ask you a question. Do you really believe that?
Was I a little intimidating?
No, but I think we've been told we're intense. Once in a while. But I'm just saying. And if you don't know how to pray out loud, all you have to say is, in Jesus' name.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you help him.
Amen.
That's it. It's super easy. It's super easy. So don't discount yourself. Don't walk out of here and go, I don't want God to send anybody across my path. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because it will light a fire in you.
Heaven rejoices when one person repents, and if it was through you, it's awesome.
Life. It's so cool. I remember the first couple of times God had me pray for someone, and I thought, Lord, I have no idea what to say. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And out would pop a scripture that I didn't even know I knew. Pretty soon I figured it out. It's not you anyway. It's just you're a yielded vessel. You're just letting God help someone else through you. And you're just the person. And you can do it. And it's awesome. And you want to.
Absolutely.
All right, communion.
Everybody have their communion elements? I'm going to set the sword down. Does that go all the way through? Yeah, it does. Wow. Cool. Father, we thank you for this church, this body of believers. We thank you for your word. And now, Father, we thank you for Holy Communion, this bread which represents your body which was broken for us, and this cup representing, Jesus, your blood that was shed for the remission of our sin. And so, Lord, we honor you this morning, and we choose with our will to surrender in this act of communion. To surrender something, one thing today. I purpose in my heart to surrender one thing that was a little struggle for me, or I'm saying this for everybody right now, that we would surrender to the Lord something that can go. Maybe animosity towards somebody, maybe a hurt that hasn't healed, or some minor issue maybe that has gotten blown out of proportion by the enemy. There's so many things, Lord, right now that we could bring to you and receive your forgiveness for. We want to be clean before you today, Father. as we receive communion. And so we just thank you that through your word, through your blood, through your body, we have cleansing from unforgiveness and sin, and we just choose to be the doers of the word that you said we could do it. So we thank you for that now, and we cast all our cares on you. In Jesus' name, amen. And he took bread, and he broke it, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took this cup. He said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, excuse me, that's one of the things that happens sometimes, but sorry. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord, for communion. Thank you for help from heaven to change, to grow, to be a doer of the word, to seek your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Well, we'll close the service today by receiving the morning offering. And Jesus said to give, and it would be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. How many of you are, like, cooked with your mom or your grandma or somebody, right? And they taught you how to pack in the brown sugar really good, overflowing. God is a multiplier. And when you give him something, he takes those resources and he multiplies them back to us. Good measure, it's good. God's blessings are good. He adds no sorrow with his blessings. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. That's what God does for us. He puts us in the right position. He helps us to walk in wisdom. He helps us to understand principles of giving. But if you're just hanging on to everything super tight, you're not giving God anything to work with. So we want to give him something to work with, and we want to be doers of his word. Amen? Father, thank you for the opportunity to sow and to give into your kingdom. You are a generous God, and you want to help every single one of us. You want to bless us. Overflowing, you are well able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we can ask or think, according to your power that's at work in us. And Father, we know that one of the ways your power works in us is when we are doers of your word. So thank you for this offering. We trust you, we worship you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. And Father, as a church, we purpose to use every single penny to further your kingdom and to further your work. We pray for the ministries that we support, God, that they would have all of their needs met, that they would be in the right place at the right time. And God, you help us to have our needs met as a church and as the people of the church. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our ushers will go ahead and pass those. And we're still practicing some of these protocols in church and getting some things figured out and set up. And somehow Tracy got missed, but that's all right. Thank you so much for being a part of church this morning. If you'd like prayer for anything, you can come catch us after church. So don't forget, next Saturday, this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock, we'll meet for a couple of hours just to kind of get things cleaned up and set up for lunch after church and then our Christmas decorating day, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I really have missed hanging out with you guys. It was nice to have a Saturday off yesterday, but truthfully, it's kind of boring. So it's more fun to just come down here and hang out. So anyway, if you'd like to come help us next Saturday, 10 o'clock, we're not going to decorate the tree until after lunch on Sunday. But you can bring your ornaments down and all those kinds of things and just help us get things ready. So with that, we will let everybody go. Have a blessed rest of your week, and we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night. And then just real quick, we're starting up the groups again in December. So men's group first Saturday in December. Ladies, we'll have our Christmas party the second Saturday in December, and then Revelation class is going to kick back off the third Saturday in December, and then we'll be into the holidays. So have a great week. Blessings.